This is picking up from the previous edition of Stating the Obvious. So if you haven't listened to episode 155, you need to go listen to that to be in on what's happening. Because I can't stop. I was going to go make some food, but I can't fucking stop. What is it about... I can't even wrap my brain around why you feminists are so blind to your stupid choices. I mean, look, we got this woman here. She can marry the man who gives her the $52,000 car. But what does she do? She goes to Nantucket and fucks the unemployed guy who lives with his parents. Why? Because you women are never fucking happy. Why is it that you women are completely in fucking capable of being satisfied with what you have? I have, right now in my kitchen, I have two pots. Pots that you cook in that were owned by my grandmother. These pots have got to be... they gotta be 60 years old. They're pots. They're perfectly good. You put shit in it, you put it on the stove gets hot, the shit in the pot gets hot, the pot fucking works. I will use those things until the fucking day that I die. But you women, you can't fucking do this. You have to have new kitchenware every 6 months. You have to have a new car every year. You have to have new shoes every 2 weeks. You have to have a new purse every 17 minutes. You constantly have to have new shit in your life because you're never fucking satisfied with what you have. And all of these things I just read and just talked about, this just epitomizes this. This chick, she's fucking an unemployed guy who lives with his parents. Even though she's engaged to a man who bought her a $52,000 car. Why? Because she's just not happy. This other bitch who says she's in the richest 1% of people in America, who has three kids, she doesn't have a husband for the fucking kids, she's gonna let a man who has no fucking job, who's bankrupt, who fucks other women besides her, she's gonna let this guy move in and live with her. Why? It's because you women are never fucking happy and satisfied with what you have. But ultimately, I think there's more to it than that. I think we need to really drill down and get to the heart of this entire problem. Ladies, women, females, girls, feminists, feminazis, femistatists, dykes, lesbians, trannies, let's all come together and let's admit what the real cause of this whole problem is. The real reason why these women are turning their backs on men who give them $52,000 cars and fucking unemployed people. The real reason for all of this is, of course, the patriarchy. You see, this woman, she was going to marry the guy. She's engaged to this guy. Gave her a $52,000 car. She loves, she's going to marry. But then she was laying there in her bed one night. She was hanging out. And the patriarchy broke into her room. And the patriarchy held her down and forced her to go to Nantucket and fuck the guy who doesn't have a job and lives with his parents. And this is the common fucking theme that separates the femistatist from a real woman. By real woman, I mean a person who is female, and is as relatively sane and rational and as intelligent as any human being can be, because all of us have our flaws, all of us have our blind points, blind sides, whatever you want to call it, right? All of us, none of us are perfect, well, except me, of course. The feminist, the defining point of the femistatist is that feminist, feminazis, whatever you want to call them, it's all the same thing, femistatist. The femistatist cannot accept responsibility. You hear feminist statists are the ones who say things like, I accidentally got pregnant. Oh, you accidentally got pregnant. It was an accident. You were walking down the stairs and you tripped and you fell and you landed on a guy's cock. And the cock shot off inside you and you got pregnant. It's totally an accident. Oh my God. These are the women who say, the feminist statists, who say, I don't want to even degrade real women by referring to feminist statists as women. The feminist statists are the ones who say, he got me pregnant. Oh, right, because you had nothing to do with it. He did that all by himself. This is, and again, this goes back to what I talked about in the previous edition. Female protagonists in stories written by women tend to be characters who stand around and things happen to them. This is the femistatist perspective on the world. Femistatists are these pure, innocent, wonderful, perfect creatures who should be CEOs and should make as much money as men make and all this other shit, and they just go through life and everything bad that happens to them is the fault of the patriarchy. Somebody else did it to them. They have no sense of responsibility. They can't ever be fucking satisfied. Those are the defining elements of the femistatist. They do not take responsibility for anything that happens to them, but they expect to constantly receive reward. They expect to constantly be fucking better and better men. They expect to be having the best jobs. They expect to have everybody kiss their ass. They expect to have everybody bow down to them. They expect that if you say something they don't like on the internet, that your website will be taken down. They expect that Twitter will ban your account if you're a misogynist. They expect that Facebook will ban your account if you're part of the patriarchy. They expect everybody in the fucking world to kiss their asses and cater to their whims, but they are not fucking capable of taking the slightest bit of responsibility for anything that happens to them, because everything happens to them. It's not their fault. She accidentally got pregnant. Fucking hell. All right, now I'm going to pause the recording. I'm going to go get some fucking food. Then I'm going to come back and we're going to see if there's anything in this other E. Jean article I have that's worth going over. I can't imagine there would be. I mean, Wow. Okay, yeah, that was me reading ahead. We'll be back after I get food. I'm going to have bacon. Yes, bacon. Wait, I can't stop. Okay, and then, let's look at the first example again. So, the bitch is going to marry a guy who, she's engaged to him, she's bought the dress, they've hired the wedding planner, he gave her a $52,000 car. She's fucking a guy who doesn't have a job and lives with his parents. Who is this fucking beta male pussy who gave this bitch a car? Men, do not give a bitch a $52,000 car. She's off fucking an unemployed guy in Nantucket, and you gave her a $52,000 car. You are a motherfucking beta male. You are definitely not part of the patriarchy, that's for goddamn sure. You, sir, are part of the problem. If a bitch wants a car, tell her go get a fucking job and buy the car herself. This is exactly why women have no sense of feminist. This is why femistatists, not women, this is why femistatists have no sense of responsibility. How much sense of responsibility would you have as a man if you could go off and fuck another woman and then a woman would give you a car? It's just like the guy in the other letter. So the woman says, hey, there's this guy, he's bankrupt, he's fucking other women, but he's really good at sex, I want him to come live with me. mean, there you go. That it's just like I said, why shouldn't he? That guy is fucking alpha male. I mean, maybe the bankruptcy part is not exactly alpha male, but I mean, why not? If you can get women to support you, if you can get women to give you money and buy you everything you need while you live with them and fuck other women, it don't get no more alpha than that. That is the fucking, that should be the goal in life of every man. To have a woman pay his bills, provide him with shelter, and stand there while he fucks other women. I mean, fucking holy grail right there. Men, don't give women a goddamn car. She's probably fucking another guy in Nantucket. What the hell is wrong with you? You want to marry a bitch? Tell her to get her bitch ass in the kitchen and make you a fucking pie. And now I'm going to go to the fucking kitchen and I'm going to cook some fucking food and eat. And we're going to see if I can get through fucking feeding myself without having to come back up here and scream at the microphone some more. Because I'm fucking sick of femistatists and their goddamn whining about the fucking patriarchy. If you don't like the, you know, if you don't like the patriarchy, that didn't last long. If you don't like the patriarchy, again, you know, what is the fucking femistatist solution to the patriarchy? It's to get their websites taken down. It's to get them banned from social media. Okay, so who invented electricity? Men. Who invented the internet? Men. Who runs the internet companies? Men. Who invented the social media? Men. Who invented Facebook? Man. Right? Again, what do the femistatists, can the femistatists themselves do anything about it? No, of course not, because they don't have responsibility. They're completely passive. They're incompetent. They have to go to men and say to the men, and I'm using the term man loosely here. What we really mean is manginas. They have to go to the manginas and say, these men are saying things that offend us. We need you to take their social media down. We need you to take their websites down. We need you to protect us from their opinions. Because we are femistatist. We can't handle opinions that are different than ours. We can't even allow those opinions to exist. We, the femistatist, need you, the state. We're actually talking about anarcho-capitalism concepts now. The state with a capital S, not the state like Colorado or Texas or California. We, the femistatist, need the state. We need the government. We need the corporations to protect us from opinions that we don't like. And then the femistatist don't understand why they don't get paid as much money as a man. They don't understand why men don't want to work for them. They don't understand why they're not CEOs and world leaders. They don't understand why men laugh at them. They don't understand. Because they're never satisfied and they have no sense of responsibility. Okay, now, deep breath. I'm going to go to the fucking kitchen. And I'm not going to make a fucking pie. I'd like to have a pie right now. Oh, the Rock likes pie. Yes. I'm going to go to the fucking kitchen and I'm going to make myself some fucking food. Let's see how this works out. Yes, I am back. No, I have not eaten yet. Yes, I have started cooking. You may be thinking, well, if you're a statist, you're not thinking because you can't think and be a statist. Because if you could think, you wouldn't be a statist or a femistatist. You may be wondering about my continued reference to femistatist being, and I'm slightly winded because I ran from the kitchen because I had to fucking get back and run my mouth. God forbid I go more than 7 seconds without talking, right? which reminds me of the thing about where I talked about how I was going to do the anarcho-capitalism commentary over the video game. It made me really laugh thinking about that, because I could see somebody coming up to me and saying, "What'd you do this weekend?" I could say, "Well, I sat at home and played a computer game and talked to myself." So, yes, because that's just how much of a loser I am. Anyhow, speaking of losers, let's talk about femistatist. I keep pointing out that femistatists are incompetent because they are incompetent. I don't agree with Rush Limbaugh on many things, but one thing he has said that is true, it's one of his 42 or something something undeniable truths of life. So I got distracted there for a minute. Email came up. Is that feminism was created to give feminism was created to give ugly women access to mainstream society. That's the way he phrases it. I think it's almost true. Feminism exists to give incompetent women access to things that they can't get. Because when I say femistatist don't take responsibility, you know, again, this goes back to something I talked about this earlier, where when you can and can't make statements that are all-inclusive. For example, you can't make the statement, all black people are good at basketball, because that's simply not true. And, you know, having black skin has nothing to do with your basketball skills. You know, like, you can't make the statement that, whatever, all Asians are good at math, whatever, right? But when you move into the realm of ideology, and of course, at the time I was talking about homosexuals, I said you can't make generalizations like all homosexuals are such and such, because some homosexuals do vote liberal Democrat, some homosexuals vote conservative Republican, right? That was sort of the context that I was putting it. So you can't make generalizations about homosexuals tied to ideology or tied to competence. You can't make generalizations about black people tied to their ideology. You can't say all black people vote Democrat. Many of them do, yes, but not you. So you can't tie those things together, right? When you move to the realm of ideological labels, you can do this. So when I say all femistatists are incompetent, when I say that all femistatists do not take responsibility and cannot take responsibility, no, I can make this inclusive statement. Why? Simple. Because women who are competent, if there's a woman who is competent at a job or a skill, if there is a woman who is physically attractive, if there is a woman who has a great personality and gets along with others and has good communication skills, there's a woman who is mentally sane and rational and logical and intelligent, women like that are not femistatist, because women like that don't need feminism, because they have a competency. They have a way to navigate their way through life and get things. Sometimes it's because of what they look like, sure. Sometimes it's because they are competent. Sometimes it's because they are logical and rational. Women who can make their way through life without having to screech about the patriarchy and blame everything on rape and label everybody and blah, 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 those women are not feminist, because those women don't need feminism. Women who become feminist because they are not competent at getting what they want. And statism is the process of taking from other people by force what you can't get for yourself. This is what feminists do. Feminists, they see a blog on the manosphere. They don't like it. What do? They try to get the blog taken down. They use force against the person who's saying something they don't like, because they have no way to mentally and emotionally deal with the fact that somebody has an opinion different than theirs. Now, I've used that as an example a couple of times because, and I actually have not read this yet, this is why I haven't commented on it, because I don't have the facts, but apparently somebody at WordPress.com is trying to take down Manosphere blogs. So anyhow, I'm going to look into this future, in the future, read up on this, see what the hell's going on, sort it out. But like I said, I don't want to comment on it right now, but you know, Look at people on Twitter who the Femistatists have gotten people on Twitter banned because of things they've been tweeting, right? This is the approach that incompetent people use to get what they want. Competent people do not need to go to a third party and have that third party use force against another person in order for the competent person to get what she needs. A competent person can go out and get what she needs. All right, my food is cooking. I have to go. I'll be back. Okay, I did eat. Yes, I also was watching an episode of South Park. God, I love it, South Park. I thought of something else. Let's revisit. How many hours can I stretch out two fucking pages of information? Let's revisit something as soon as I find it. Okay. The chick, and this really didn't even dawn on me until just recently, as in like the last literally 45 seconds. As I was thinking about this other question, this one I read. Dear Eugene, what is the club etiquette when an attractive guy moves in close and starts petting my hips 10 minutes after he introduces himself to me? Now see, I did not interpret this correctly at first when I was reading it, because she says, what is the club etiquette? Now you see, to men, when you say the word club, that means like a country club. So I envisioned that she was in a country club environment and she met a man like at the bar or at the pro shop or something like that. Then it occurred to me, when women use the word club, what they mean is bar, because no woman wants to say, I went to the bar to see if I could pick up some random cock. They use the word club. Oh, me and my girlfriends, we went clubbing. Sounds a lot better than saying, me and some other skanky hoes I don't really like, but they're all fatter than me, so I hang out with them because I'm really fat, but I'm the skinniest one in the group. And so they're really fat and they make me look good. So me and these other skanky whores, we dressed ourselves up like whores and we went to a bar and we got really drunk and we cruised for cock. So when a woman used... So this incident where men were touching her within 10 minutes of meeting her, this is not happening in a country club. This is happening in a bar. Women, the men you meet in bars are in bars to meet whores, take them home and fuck them and not talk to them anymore. This whole thing in our society where, well, I want to go out and meet some men, or I want to go out and meet some girls, let's go to a bar. Now, and again, it all depends on, if you're just going to fuck, then yes. If you just want to find somebody to fuck for a couple of weeks, then yes, you go to a bar. Or if you're a woman, you call it a club. Right. But if you're trying to meet quality human beings who can have conversations and have interesting things going in their lives, you know, other than whining and getting drunk and playing computer games and podcasting, you don't go to bars. And again, it, you see here, the element of feminism, of femistatism, that is passiveness. I went to a club and a man touched me. What do I do about it? She went to a building full of drunk people in a dark room who are in the dark room looking for random sex. And people are touching her and she doesn't know what to do about it. Well, let's see. You're in a dark room full of drunk people who are looking for random sex. What did you expect? But then again, we're back to femistatists cannot be responsible. Femistatists think they should be able to go to a room full of drunk people looking for sex in the dark and nobody should touch them. It's because you have no fucking understanding of the reality around you. Okay. I think I might be done with this. Then we're going to move on to the next Eugene set of columns and it's going to start all over again. All right, I'm pausing. I'm going to go get a beer and we're going to do some stuff and I'll be back. All right. Okay. I'm back. Didn't make a lot of progress on the pile. I removed... That was me getting... Hold on. I'm getting distracted again. I'm like a fucking girl. I can't... I'm just not satisfied with what I have. Hold on a second. I'm going to be back. Okay, let's try this again. As I was mentioning... Two podcasts, and the pile went down by a whopping 4 sheets of paper. Because this one is going to take the rest of this podcast. I'm just resigned myself to that already. All right, more Ask E. Jean, more femistatist who think they should be paid the same amount of money as a man. More femistatist who think they are equal to men. Writing in with the stupidest fucking problems ever. Now, the first one is actually the only one that makes any reasonable sense. Well, and maybe the last one also, honestly. Anyway, let me just read it. Let's do this. On a lark, I created a fake profile on Facebook with another person's pictures and a false name. I had no evil purpose. As it turned out, a guy began messaging me. We continued a long-distance friendship by text and phone calls, and he sent me some presents. Now he's found out that I was a phony, and he swears he's going to sue me, and I'm going to go to jail. He says he spent more than $10,000 on gifts, most through Amazon, and that he has the receipts. At first, he refused to let me begin to pay him back, saying he wanted to, quote, save the friendship, unquote. Now he wants the money. All of it. Of course, I don't even have half the sum. I feel bad about what I did, but I never asked him for anything. Even after he found out, he still sent me gifts and said he, quote, wanted me in his life, unquote. I took down the profile and don't talk to him anymore. Any advice? All right, first of all, can he sue you? Yeah, he can. You can sue anybody for anything. Second of all, should you have created a fake Facebook profile? Why not? I'm sure a large number of Facebook profiles are. I know from reading the books about Anonymous and things like that. A lot. I don't have a number on this. There are many fake Facebook profiles. Computer hackers use these to do what is called, wetware hacking, or God damn it, there's another word for it though. I can't think. Damn it. Anyway, instead of like cracking somebody's password by trying to brute force it, you make friends with the person whose password you're trying to hack, and then you say, hey man, by the way, what was your grandmother's maiden name? And they tell you their grandmother's maiden name. Then they go to your Google account and they say, I lost my password. And the recovery question is, what was your grandmother's maiden name? And now they're in. So you're hacking the system, not by hacking the computer, but by hacking the human. So there are many fake Facebook profiles that exist for this purpose. Anyway, it's a long story. If you're interested in what I'm talking about, just find some of the books that have been written about Anonymous and read them. You will come to understand this. It's called, damn it, it's right on the tip of my tongue, human something, damn it, there's a term for doing that. All right, anyway, so she created a fake profile and that was stupid-ish. Ish, and then she made friends with ish, stupid, but it's like, for dude, you don't buy shit for people you don't know on Amazon, and no, she has no obligation to pay this fucker back. I don't know why I'm giving this advice, but I guess the point is, in this one, the woman wasn't really the idiot here. The idiot is this fucking beta male who met somebody on Facebook and spent $10,000 buying them presents, buying her presents via Amazon.com. That right there sounds like femistatism to me, because an alpha male, a man with any level of self-respect and dignity, a man who's actually had sex, would not do this, okay? I mean, I'm a man, and I'm fairly desperate to fuck girls, and I'll do a lot of stupid things to fuck girls, but there's really no indication here he's even trying to fuck her. He just wanted to be friends with her. It's like, dude, that is the ultimate beta maleism, and beta maleism is a symptom of femistatism. Because if there were no femistatism, then beta males would all be extinct because alpha males would have killed them, plus they wouldn't be able to reproduce because no sane woman would have sex with a beta male. Anyway, that was that. Now, let's get back into some really juicy stuff. Dear E. Jean, I haven't sold anything yet, but I'm a screenwriter. Okay, if you haven't sold a screenplay, you're not a screenwriter. I haven't gone to medical school yet, but I'm a surgeon. No, if you haven't gone to medical school yet and you don't have any experience in the operating room, you're not. Again, this is the femistatist perspective. I want to be a screenwriter. I'm going to just call myself a screenwriter. I don't need to actually meet the criteria for being a screenwriter like men do. Men, in order to be screenwriters, have to actually sell a screenplay, and then they can become screenwriters. But I'm a femistatist, and I'm entitled, and the patriarchy has been keeping me down for all these years. So even though I've never sold a screenplay, I can't talk, I'm going to say that I'm a screen... You're not a screenwriter, honey. You're just a dumb bitch. Get your ass in the kitchen and make me a pie. Okay. I haven't sold anything yet, but I'm a screenwriter. My focus as a 24-year-old is to work as hard as possible, take risk, follow my passion, and see some of my scripts produced by the time I'm 30. My question, what if I don't accomplish this? When should I start thinking of trying something else? Well, the obvious thing is here, since you haven't sold anything, that means you're not making any money doing screenwriting. That means somebody else is paying your bills. It might be a beta male. It might be your parents. It might be the federal government. When should you start thinking about doing something else so that you could actually afford to pay your own way through life instead of being a parasite on other people? Well, honey, the answer to that question is you should think about doing something else whenever you decide you want to be equal to a man. Because you see, men don't get to parasite their way through lives. Men don't get to claim to be things they aren't. Men, not manginas, not beta males, not pussies, men don't get to live with their parents. Men don't get welfare payments. So, as a femistatist, I'm sure you think you're equal to men. So the answer is, you need to look at finding a way to pay your own fucking bills whenever you want to finally be equal to men. Damn, I'm good at this. All right, dear E. Jean, I'm lucky enough to have a fantastic boyfriend. We already know this is going downhill. I'm lucky enough to have a fantastic boyfriend who proposed to me. Unluckily, he asked me to marry him after I'd been out with the girls at a posh event with an open bar. And when I finally came home, I was absolutely hammered. He asked me to marry him as I walked through the door. I refused to look at the ring, suffered a panic attack, and spent the rest of the evening crying. I felt horrible in the morning, and not just because of the killer hangover. Excuse me. The next weekend, he proposed in a meaningful and intimate way at a beautiful hotel. This is the story we're telling everyone, but now whenever we have a disagreement, he reminds me of my bratty behavior. Why can't he stop mentioning it? When people ask how he proposed, I get all awkward. What's the protocol here? Okay. The reason he can't stop mentioning your bratty behavior is because you're a stupid little brat, and the thing he's doing right is he knows that you need to be reminded of this. The thing he's doing wrong is he proposed to you, which is going to be a mistake, because time will prove me right on this one. You will end up fucking another man, probably somebody who is unemployed and lives with his parents, and you'll get pregnant by this other guy, and this poor sucker will end up raising another man's sperm. Now, what I like is the way, so she comes home drunk because she's been out with the whores getting drunk and getting, and it was an open bar, right? She ain't going to pay for her own alcohol. No, 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 no. Women, fucking femistatus, they don't pay for their own alcohol. No, they go to open bars. They go to clubs where they have men buy drinks for them, but femistatus don't buy their own booze. So she and the whores went to an open bar where they got drunk for free. She comes stumbling in. The guy, he doesn't know because he's obviously an idiot because he's asking this dumb bitch to marry him. So she stumbles in drunk. He doesn't recognize that she's drunk and he says, hey, will you marry me? She freaks out, yada, yada. And then she says, the next weekend he proposed in a meaningful and intimate way at a beautiful hotel. So you see, the way he was going to propose before, that was not meaningful and intimate. Like asking the woman when she comes home to the place where you live, that's not intimate. And asking her to marry, just simply asking her to marry you, that's not meaningful. To be meaningful, it has to involve a large expenditure of money. See, that's what makes something meaningful for a femistatist. Is you have to spend a large amount of money. If you propose to her in the place where you live, that's not meaningful and intimate. But if you take this same stupid bitch to a really expensive hotel and ask her to marry you there, that is meaningful and intimate. And women and femistatists claim they're not shallow. Femistatists claim they're not materialistic. Does anyone believe that shit? He's reminding you that you're a brat because you're a shallow, materialistic, drunk, alcoholic whore who's going to end up fucking an unemployed guy who lives with his parents in Nantucket. What you should do is be happy this guy is stupid enough to marry you. You should take your bitch ass into the kitchen and make him a fucking pie. Dear Eugene, I'm an artist. Right, you're a screenwriter too, I bet. Okay. Dear Eugene, I'm an artist. Sorry, I got the vapors for a minute there. Several months ago, as a project, I started posting pictures and videos of myself doing various sexual things to my body. This is what counts as art if you're a femistatist. Several months ago, as a project, I started posting videos and pictures of myself doing various sexual things to my body. Now, of course, if a man posted pictures of her with the sex stuff, he'd be a pornographer. He would be a bad person. He would be evil. And if he lost his job and didn't have any money, she would fuck the shit out of him in Nantucket. But when she puts her own naked pictures on the internet, see, when a femistatist puts naked pictures on the internet, it's art. When a man puts naked pictures on the internet, it's pornography. Okay, my medium is my body, not my face. Part of the concept is that I stay completely anonymous. Of course you do, because everybody's anonymous on the internet. There's no way you could possibly be tracked down on the internet. Why, that's impossible. Okay. It's a growing success, which is another way of saying I still haven't made any money from this. However, since meeting my new boyfriend, I've significantly reduced my postings. To my chagrin, it seems that building a fulfilling sex life with my partner is becoming more important than my art. I don't want to lose my edge. Should I ask him to become a part of it? Should she ask him to put naked pictures of himself on the internet? Oh my God. So, see, I've made this really bad decision in my life to put naked pictures of myself sticking things in my vagina on the internet. Now, here's this man who doesn't know I have pictures of myself sticking things in my cooch on the internet. Should I ask him to put pictures of himself naked sticking things in his ass on the internet with me? In other words, misery loves company. In other words, how can I drag everybody else down to my level? In other words, I'm still not actually making any money doing this, and at some point, I need to get him involved because I'm going to need his financial support to continue paying the server cost. What you need to do, honey, is put some pictures of yourself naked on the internet, of you in the kitchen making a pie. Next letter. Dear Eugene, I finally landed the corporate job in marketing that I've been striving for. You know what? If the thing in life you're striving for is a corporate job in the marketing department, I think we've already established you're a fucking loser. That is not something a normal person strives for. A job at a corporation in the marketing department is something that you're stuck in until you get something better. A lot of it is grunt work, granted. However, there's room to grow and build my resume. There's room to grow. Translation, that means she's at the bottom of the pyramid. But my boss is a screamer. The stress is almost unbearable. The woman is always in a bad mood. Notice the boss here is a woman, for one, it's not a man. By the way, have you noticed how much of, it's talking about feminazis and feminists and femistatists in the workplace and all their whining about the patriarchy and the glass ceiling. Take a little look around you. Notice that most of the mid-level management these days in the corporations is women. Take a look around you. Notice that in corporations and businesses of virtually any size, from the smallest to the largest, the HR departments are staffed almost entirely, if not entirely, by women. The hiring, the firing, the policies, all of this shit is controlled almost exclusively by women. So I don't want to hear about your fucking glass ceiling and your patriarchy. Okay. The woman is always in a bad mood. My coworkers are cool, but also pretty stressed out. I start at 8 a.m. and leave at 7 p.m. So by the time I get home, make dinner, and hang out with my boyfriend, she still cooks. Yes. Well trained. I pass out on my face. I wake up at 6 a.m. and start it all over again. My question is, how does everybody do this? First of all, everybody doesn't do this because some people have bigger goals in their life than to be in the marketing department for some fucking corporation that is going to shit all over them, like this company is doing to you, and then throw them away like used tissue paper. You see, you have been lied to by the femistatist. You have been lied to and told that your path to happiness was to go to college, get this degree, and then go work as a fucking cog in a cubicle at a corporation. And now you're finding out that it really fucking sucks. And yes, it does. The dilemma, the problem here isn't that what you're doing sucks. The problem is that nobody through the entire quote-unquote education process that you went through, nobody ever told you this. How in the fuck do you actually complete 16 years minimum of anything that could be remotely construed as education and want to work in the marketing department of a corporation? That was not an education that you received. That was an indoctrination. That indoctrination came from femistatists. The femistatists are unhappy with their own lives, and they don't fucking want you to be happy. They're not going to tell you, aspire to something better than being a cog in a corporation, because if you aspire to something better and you achieve something better, then that makes you happy. And when femistatists see women being happy, it makes them unhappy. This is why femistatists hate competent women. This is why femistatists hate attractive women. This is why femistatists hate women who are happily married. This is why femistatists hate women who are married and have children with the man who is actually the father of the children. Femistatists cannot stand to see a woman being happy. That is why you have this shitty job with these shitty people. Your fucking boss is a femistatist. She doesn't know how to do her fucking job. She doesn't know how to handle the stress. She thinks she should be paid the same as a man, and obviously this is why she shouldn't. And so she's taking it out on you because she's a dumb fucking bitch. What you need to do is get a fucking job that you can be happy at, because this ain't going to be it. This fucking room to grow and resume building shit, those are lies, honey. Those are lies. There is no room to grow. You're not going to go anywhere in the corporation. Odds are stacked against it. Somebody one day is going to be the head of that department. Of the, what, 20 people in the department? 50 people in the department, I don't know how many, could be 100 people. The odds of it being you are really fucking slim. It's going to end up being somebody who is friends with the CEO. You're not going to get that job. There's no room for you to grow. And none of this is a fucking resume builder, because nobody gives a shit. Resumes, no one gives a shit about resumes. Speaking as a former hiring authority at a college university, I can tell you that nobody gives a shit about your resume. Your resume is fucking worthless. There is nothing, none of this is building your resume. That is a lie that you have been told by the femistatist and by the old white men who are running the corporations. You know, this is one time where I'm not going to lay all the blame for your situation does not lie on the femistatist. Right? The corporate structure, which is still to a great extent, it's not run by men anymore, because as I just said, women have taken over HR, women have taken over middle management. But the thing is, these women have taken over, but they've simply continued all the processes and systems and methodologies that have been there in place from 17,000 years ago, you know, before Noah built the ark, and everything was run by old white men. All right, next. What is next? Oh, holy shit. That was it. Where am I on time? Damn, I have like 4 minutes left or something. All right, I'm going to pause this and see what else I can pull out of the bag. Yes. Yes, it's good to be me. Right here on top. This was easy. I like being on top. Actually, I like being on bottom too. All right, anyway. This is from some fucking who knows how many years ago. Cameron Diaz has been told to stop working out if she wants to keep being cast as romantic leads. Sources tell showbizspy.com that the 39-year-old actress is, quote, very aware that she is not getting any younger, unquote, and has been spending hours in the gym every day. But her physique is now so thin and muscular that it may be costing her jobs. Quote, nobody wants to see the leading lady with bigger biceps than her male co-star, unquote, says the source. I was just talking about this. So, Cameron Diaz is in too good of a physical shape, and other people, beta males and femistatists, want her to stop exercising. All right, let's look at how this ties to statism. The beta males, the femistatists, they are all statists. These are people who see another person. Cameron Diaz is doing something with her body. It's her body that she's taking to the gym. It's her muscles that she's building. It's all her time. Everything. It's all hers. The statists see this and they don't like it. The statist beta males don't like it because she has bigger muscles than they do. What do you mean nobody? You know what? I'll go see Cameron Diaz in a movie. I think Cameron Diaz is hot. I think she's 12. First of all, if I'm going to a romantic movie, which I'm not going to do, but if some chick is going to make me watch a romantic movie in order to have sex with her, it needs to have Cameron Diaz in it. She should have bigger muscles than her fucking male co-star, because first of all, I'm not looking at the male co-star. Who gives a fuck about the, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Cameron Diaz. I'm trying to think of an actor I've ever seen in a frame with her, and nothing's coming to mind, because when Cameron Diaz is in the fucking picture, nobody else exists. Why? Because Cameron Diaz is a hot chick, and if you're not a hot chick, I don't give a fuck about you. Okay, so you got a bunch of beta males who are upset that Cameron Diaz is more buff than they are. Gee, that sounds like their fucking problem. Maybe they should stop playing computer games and go to the fucking gym. See, again, this is what statism, and of course the femistatist, see, again, what I said about femistatists. Femistatists don't like attractive women because femistatists are ugly. So when a femistatist sees an attractive woman like Cameron Diaz, who has a great body because she puts a lot of time and effort into working out and making her body attractive, what do? They attack her. Because you think a femistatist is going to lose some fucking weight? You think a femistatist is going to go to the goddamn gym? Of course not. Femistatists can't do these things because, what have we talked about? Femistatists have no sense of responsibility. Femistatists are passive, not active. Things happen to femistatists. A femistatist is someone who accidentally gets pregnant. She didn't do anything. That happened to her. A femistatist can't go to the gym and exercise because that would require her to actively go to the gym, like physically go to the gym and then physically lift heavy objects multiple times so as to build her muscles. A femistatist can't do that. So what are the femistatists and what are the beta males do? They hate on Cameron Diaz because Cameron Diaz is putting some fucking effort into her existence because she has some goddamn pride and some dignity, and because she's not a stupid piece of shit like these people are. And I use the term people loosely. I'm always right. There is not one thing I have said in these two podcasts that is wrong. Not one fucking thing. The femistatist will whine and cry and piss, and they'll call me names, and they'll talk about how small my penis is, they'll call me virgin and all sorts of shit, but you'll notice at no point will any one of them refute anything I have said with anything even remotely resembling logic or reason. By the way, I am the Great One himself, and this was the Stating the Obvious podcast from the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com, on the internet, until the Femistatist have it banned, which they will be trying to do, I'm sure. You can send your email, your love mail, your hate mail. You can send naked pictures of you sticking things in your vagina if you want to. You can send all of that to God, that's G-O-D, dog spelled backwards, G-O-D, at CYNLIBSOC.com. I'll be back soon. I love you. Love you all, my little anarcho-capitalist friends.